podcast from AusCert's 2009 conference is brought to you by Microsoft. For full risky business coverage of AusCert, point your browser to risky.biz.
Howdy and welcome to Risky Business 2. I'm Patrick Gray. As you know by now, our coverage of AusCert's conference is sponsored by Microsoft, and as a part of that sponsorship package, we're doing these sponsored interviews about Microsoft's technology. In this podcast, we chat to the company's Keith Brinsenhoff, which is an awesome name if ever I've heard one. He manages the Information Protection and Control Product Unit in the Identity and Security Division of Microsoft, and he joined me in person at AusCert to explain Microsoft's collaboration with RSA on DLP and document rights management software. I started off by asking Keith to explain what this collaboration, of course, between DLP and RMS, actually achieves.
You know, I think I'll break it into two parts. The first is the fact is the rights management, which is the ability to set a policy associated with the document saying who can access it, and once you've accessed it, what can you do with it? Can you print it? Can you view it? Or can you actually have full control of the document? That particular part is what Microsoft has built and shipped for over 5 years right now, called Rights Management Services. What we've collaborated now with RSA is on DLP, is where you go from the point of actually being able to evaluate any number, any amount of content you might have in your data center or on your laptop hard drive, and be able to classify that so that a company can understand what is sensitive documents and then apply actions such as rights management to those documents.
And how is that done? I mean, that can't be an automated process, can it? Because you need obviously someone sitting there determining what is important and what isn't.
Well, there is a first step where the company evaluates what is important to them. And in many cases, that is things like personally identifiable information. They want to keep things private that are supposed to be private. Or it might be confidential data like business plans or spreadsheets with financial data in that. So once the company has identified those, RSA, for example, with the DLP product, you can actually set policies, might be a privacy approach that will allow you to find out what is the personally identifiable information, or a payment card, one associated with finding the credit cards that are on the systems. Once you've done that, then the system will run automatically and then identify those things that match the characteristics. So it's basically called content analysis, and the policies that RSA has developed over the last few years are quite powerful and actually give good results.
So has there been any integration between the Microsoft approach and the RSA approach? Because we're talking about, well, the RSA bit does this, the Microsoft bit does that. Has it actually been integrated? And was that a case of actually having developers under the same roof?
So the first answer is yes, it has been. And the way we do it is basically there are two parts. One is the DLP product that RSA has in the market right now, which is, I believe, DLP 6.5. The developers of RSA created the integration points that could trigger the RMS actions. They were able to do that because the Microsoft RMS, the RMS platform that we ship, basically has APIs that allow a developer that's outside of the RMS or Microsoft team to be able to take advantage of the platform. So in this case, it was done in San Jose for the RSA stuff and Redmond for the Microsoft part. A second point I'd like to add to that, though, is what we also announced was the need for this kind of capability to be available for all kinds of applications over a long period of time. So because of that, we've been talking about what we call the built-in versus bolt-on approach. And so based on that, the agreement that we signed and announced with RSA was that we're basically over time going to be taking this technology and baking it into the platform, so that many different kinds of applications and not just Microsoft applications will be able to take advantage of this. And so that will be more and more integrated over time.
So you're basically writing a monster API for this thing that's going to allow application developers to use it.
A simple API, because if it's too difficult to do, it takes longer for the developers to take advantage of it.
Okay, a ninja API. How's that? That small,
great.
Compact, deadly, effective.
I'll have to take that back to my team.
See if they go for it.
Yeah, it's a good way to explain it.
RSA has certainly been a pioneer in the DLP marketplace, but it's getting awfully crowded awfully quickly. Who drove this initiative? Was it RSA looking at a way to get some sort of competitive edge in the market, or was it Microsoft realizing that RSA is, you know, quite well known in the DLP space and it would become a good part? I mean, how did this all come about? What was the logic behind fusing these two components together?
So I think that's a really good thing to speak about. It actually started in two parts. One is Microsoft's own IT department was one of the earliest and largest deployments of the RSA DLP products. And so based on that, we knew about them, and they knew they were actually, even today, they were used to identify the core intellectual property that Microsoft was worried about. In combination with that, our customers were asking us for more automation associated with RMS. For people who are not familiar with this, the current toolkit allows you to set a policy while you're creating it, like you have a Word document or an email, and basically push a little button, and it automatically does the protection of that information. And then in combination with SharePoint, you can also set rules on the library to enable the RMS protection. But customers said that wasn't enough. They have literally gigabytes and terabytes of information that is sitting in file shares and repositories in their corporations, and they really wanted more tools to find this. So that combination of the customer need and our knowledge of what we felt was a really good approach at that time basically is what led us together to create the partnership.
Terabytes of unclassified data.
Absolutely.
The horror! The horror!
They're worried about the risk. You know, they actually just don't know what's in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when they do start to classify it and identify it, they do find things that they are really happy that they found.
Well, they're like, what's that doing there?
Absolutely.
That sort of thing. Yeah,
absolutely.
I can imagine.
That's surprising.
I mean, DLP, the approach that I like about DLP, I think it was Greg Shipley, who is the CTO of a company called NeoHapsis. I don't know if you ever heard of them. I think he said it best about DLP, where he said, you know, hey, it's a new approach. There's nothing wrong with flagging what data is important and then keeping an eye open on it. That said, there have been a lot of criticisms of DLP in that companies are trying to oversell the technology and really present it as this magnificent new thing that's going to – anything classified as sensitive by this thing ain't going anywhere, which seems to be, in my view, overselling it. Do you have a response to that?
Oh, yeah, because actually I think that's core to why we've connected RMS with a DLP. Because right now, if customers are finding things, other companies will just – you'll just block it, right? And that, like, stops the business process. And if you stop the flow of information, a business will fail over time because you're not doing the right things, which is getting your information to be efficient and productive. So we see this as being able now to say, hey, I found this, but I'll just put a policy associated with it and encrypt it for access by those people who are qualified to see that data and let it flow through. So it actually is quite a powerful thing. But even in the end, I think this is a journey that we have ahead of us in terms of it's a hard problem. I think we're already, with the RSA work that we've done today, we've made some significant investments that will actually make a difference on customers today. But over time, we'll learn to do it better. Customers will give us feedback. We'll respond to that. So I think it's not a silver bullet. But
oh,
I think it's something.
He used the silver bullet word. Does it raise the bar? Does it take care of the low-hanging fruit?
It does address some of the low-hanging fruit.
You never hear about the high fruit, do you? You never hear about the high fruit. Look, so I guess what you're saying is you're trying to take DLP and make it more useful. But that said, do you think that in 5 years, the DLP solution of 5 years from now is going to look at all like the DLP solution of today?
It will probably be more integrated into users' workflow. I think you have to get the business owners of the information involved in the whole process. So I think things that probably will need to be done more and more of is basically put these tools in the hands of the business people and just enable the IT pros to ensure that they can get the pieces in place. But let's get the hands of the let's get the information into the hands of business people. They can set what's important to them and then let their business flow.
You're giving the policy freaks the tools they need to abuse people with so they can rule the network with an iron fist.
We think of it more as a safety net to make sure that customers will be protected in the long run.
Okay. Well, Keith Brinsenhoff, thank you very much for joining us on Risky Business.
Okay. Thanks, Patrick.